Hallelujah. Welcome to this week's teaching by Exchange Church Belfast. Our heart at Exchange is for you to experience a genuine encounter with Jesus Christ and to thrive in life. If you want to call by for a Sunday service, we'd love for you to join us at 10:30 a.m. for a wee cuppa, followed by worship from 11. You can also connect with us via our Facebook page, Exchange Church Belfast, our Twitter at Exchange Church, our Vimeo, exchangechurch.tv, and our website, of course, exchangechurchbelfast.com. And it would be great to hear from you. Now, over to this week's talk.
I've tried to encourage you all summer that what I felt for today is, rather than teach something new, I wanted to sort of try to leave the summer, because it's been a really great summer, actually. You know, through the church, I've seen new people come and all that sort of stuff. But there's something about what we talked about which I think is actually really, really significant. And so rather than just rattling through, because sometimes I get slightly frustrated whenever, even in myself, whenever the first time I hear something, or not even the first time, when I hear something, I go, yeah, I know that. Does anyone do that? If you've been around the church for anything more than 5 minutes, at some point you're going to go, yeah, I know that. Yeah? Okay, so it's not just me. No, it is just you. And, you know, that sense of, yeah, I know that, but yet I still don't see it. Yeah, I know that, but I still don't see it. I think the country's full of, yeah, I know that, but are we seeing it? And part of the thing this week, I know I'm laughing about people who go a wee bit crazy online, because they do level all sorts of stuff. And in my flesh, I want to respond and go, help me out with some fruit here, you know? Do you get what I'm saying? But because I'm not allowed on Facebook, it's not that I'm not allowed, it's just I've voluntarily taken myself off it. I just don't respond. But it's that sense of, you know, and then the Lord kind of caught me up a little bit this week to go, yeah, well, don't you do that either. Don't you be that, yeah, sure, I know that, but I don't know it. Yeah, I know it, but I don't. You get that? Why don't you just sit on some of these truths for a bit and actually allow the Spirit of grace, the Holy Spirit, to actually show you in your context, in your world, how you're going to see what He gave for you, lived out, and you possessing it. Possessing it means holding it, owning it, and seeing the goodness of it. Amen? And so that's what we've talked about all summer. So I wanted just to remind you, because at the very start of the summer, I encourage you by saying this, that, you know, whenever the Lord is leading you somewhere, into somewhere that's new, all right? And for all of us, unless we're sitting here this morning going, as I hit September and kids get back to school and it's back to routine and all that kind of stuff, and we kind of hit a new church year and the sleepiness of the summer all goes and we've got work and all that kind of stuff going on. I said that, you know, if at the very beginning, the Lord in all of our seasons leads us into goodness, but you have to follow it. And I want, as I say these things again, I want you just to let these things land, because this is what the Lord spoke over the summer. Now, remember at the beginning of the summer, I gave you a word, and I said, feed well, because what the Lord is getting you to eat on and feed on now, you're going to use it for food at some point, all right? It's like I said to you, if you're drowning in the waves, that's the worst time to learn how to swim. You learn how to swim before you hit the water. So that when you're in the water and the waves are crashing over your head, because that is what life can be like at times, then you're equipped and able and ready to deal with whatever's in front of you. And I see so many believers almost reactionary. And I do it myself at times. You react to what's going on around you, and then we get angry with the Lord and disappointed with Him and with the church and with everybody else going, but why are you not coming through for me? And the Lord says, actually, He will always, always be good for what you need. But He does say, grow up and learn to feed well. Learn to feed on the word of Jesus, because it's life and it's health to you when you find those words. But also, you will find yourself starting to live like an overcomer, starting to live in peace, not desperately searching for peace when the wheels come off, but living in peace so that when the waves come, you walk above them. Amen? And that's what the Lord said at the start of the summer. So I encouraged you all summer, particularly, go, you know, the stuff we put on the website with Pastor Prince, go and listen and feed well, because at some point, what you're going to find is you're going to find yourself in a situation, and instead of the waves crashing over you, you're going to be standing on top of them going, flipple, isn't this a better view? Isn't this just a wee bit more fun than drowning and kicking and screaming, but actually feeling that supernatural peace and goodness of God and me getting through? Because surely that's what the gospel is about, isn't it? Amen? And so I said, in order for that to happen, when you see Jesus, so my question for you is this morning, where have you seen Jesus this summer? What are the things that he said to you in your heart? What are the things that he showed you again? Because I said, whenever you see him, follow him. Remember that? I said, whenever you see him, even in a little part, you've got to go after him. Because if not, you'll be standing on the wrong side of the Jordan, looking at the promise, but not possessing it. And so there'll be things in your heart, even right now, where the Lord, because the thing of living by faith, it says that the just will live by faith. This is how it works. There's no other way to live other than in the new covenant. You believe and then you receive by faith that which Jesus has done. You can't work or earn it. There's no plan B from the Lord. His eyes, as Pastor Prince describes, it says his eyes go to and fro. And when he sees faith, which is simply believing Jesus, the Lord responds. He loves it. He absolutely loves it. He's drawn to that kind of faith in people. And actually, the word backs that up. The just, that's you and me, live this way. We live by our belief in Jesus, not by our works plus Jesus, Jesus alone. And so when you see him, you've got to follow. Do you see that? So I don't know what it was for you. I don't know, you know, when you were thinking about possessing what that looks like in your world, but I need to encourage you today. Where did you see him? Follow him. Even if it's just a little glimpse, even if it's just a little tiny thing, something in you that stirred a little to go, you know what, Lord? I am so tired of the same old, whether it's patterns in my thinking, sickness in my body, or just the stuff around me. Did anyone go, Lord, I see you leading me into something new, so I'm going after you. Amen? And so that's where it starts. When you start to possess by faith, because that's what Joshua said as he walked through the camp. When you see the ark, follow it. Don't follow me. Don't follow the captains. Don't follow the prevailing mood. Don't follow the opinion. Don't follow the big ministry. When you see Jesus, follow him. And what he did is he led them right through everything which would have overcome them. Remember, rolled it right back to Adam, the waters, right back to the very beginning, all the condemnation, all the guilt, and they walked straight through. But where did it start? They had to follow. And so when you're possessing by faith, it starts with your response to. Do you get that? Your response to who? Your response to Jesus. And I then started to describe what it's like. How does the Lord actually show you where faith begins? Because then we started to talk about how you live in your heart. All right? Is actually, what's in your heart is what comes out. You ever thought about that? Whenever I said that, what went on in your world, in your situations, where you went, actually, I am living what I saw on the inside, probably 6, 12 months, a year ago, 2 years, or maybe for the last 15 years. My world around me reflects what's on the inside of me, because from the heart, that's where we live. And then I said, that's the innermost place, Lubab in Hebrew. It's what the Lord describes the innermost place. Remember when we talked about the law of first mention and how powerful that was, and how does the Lord help us with that? The Lord helps us by using the power of our imaginations, right? Because you are able to picture things very clearly, either with good news or with bad, isn't that right? When you're excited about something, you paint this really cool picture, don't you? You go, that's awesome. You know, it's not the abstract that you're excited with. It's what you see and what you picture. That's the way the Lord made you. He connected your imagination with your heart. And what he said, if you want to know what's in here, what do you imagine when you hear? So whether it's good news or it's bad news, where does your mind go? Do you replay every, like, catastrophic thinking, you know? Like, oh my goodness, it's awful. We're all dead. We're doomed. We're doomed to tell you. We're doomed. All right? That might be you. Kind of me. Yeah. But it was for so many years, I'm not being funny. Even this church. You know, let me tell you something. I just pictured disaster out because we lived it, disaster after disaster. And so whenever I even thought about here at times, my mind just went to, you must be joking, get me out of here. Right? And then we're living what's in here. And the Lord has to show you actually, this is why the Lord, when you go to the Word. And that's why I ask you to feed. That's why I say, what are you listening to? What are the pictures? Because how the Lord helps you then to reprogram your imagination, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind to the gospel, is he gives you pictures in the Word. Every story is a picture of grace in action. And so what happens is when you see all the pictures, I started off actually with grace, didn't I? I said that unlike in the West, that Hebrew alphabet is our numbers as well. They don't have numbers, they use the letters. And so, like, A would be 1, B 2, okay? So they don't actually have numbers and letters, it's just these symbols. And the fifth letter that we know is hey. It's the picture of an open window. Isn't it beautiful? A picture of an open window. So what do you picture in your mind whenever you even hear the word grace? What about grace in your situation? What does an open heaven look like for you? An open heaven means everything that is the Lord's is yours. Nothing held back. Nothing closed to you. Nothing taken away from you. Nothing restricted from you. It's all open because of Jesus. And what I asked you to think about was, whenever you are going through your week and you come across something, where does your mind go? Does it simply, and it's not even like the resolution necessarily, but sometimes we don't know what the resolution is, but we know that there's open heaven for us. And starting to rethink that one through. I told you even in my own business how that was like just literally within a few days brought about a huge turnaround and landed me a piece of work that I should never have got in the natural. When I was confronted with, is this going to happen or not? Actually, heaven has just opened for me. And my heart and my mind went straight to that. What does open heaven look like for you? Because that's where faith begins. When you follow Jesus, when you see him and you follow him, then what he does is he starts to give you pictures of what grace looks like. That's why whenever last week we were looking at Peter on the water, the picture was not that we're all going to be literally walking on water, that if you knock yourself out, okay? But actually it was a picture of everything is under his feet. Ephesians 1, he's put everything under his feet, under his authority, literally the word feet, for the benefit of ecclesia, for the benefit of the church. So where did your mind go to? Or where's your mind going to go to from here? What are you going to think about in the next few weeks? Because when you start to really possess by faith, what it means is that you start to picture what it means to have that under his feet. What does it mean to not be sick? What do you think about when you're not sick? What does you not sick look like? Do you get that? This week, I took Friday off and took Ben. We went walking in the mornings. Seriously. Now, Ben's 14 and he's as fit as 6 butcher's dogs. Never mind one butcher's dog, right? Sweet Lord above. And but you know it's interesting when you get to my time of life? You don't want to be shown up by your boy, all right? You know, that's sort of you. Because there he is. Now, what he did, in my defense, what he did do was he made, there he is there, the wee slaver. What he did was he made me carry the bag, didn't you, son? And it was really, really heavy. And, like, really heavy. It was about 14 stone on my back with his lunch in it, all right? It's so funny. Because we ended up through the saddle, and we'd do Donner to Komodo. We hadn't done Komodo before, it's the second highest. So we did Komodo, and we're coming down, we got soaked and had our sandwiches. It was all really good fun. And then that was Friday, and yesterday morning when I woke up, I thought I was paralyzed. You know what I mean? I was like, I can't feel anything below my chest. What the heck's going on? It's like, I've lost all function in my legs. Are they even there? Do you know what I mean? It's like, holy smokes. And so I was laughing to myself because, you know, it's not really that serious. Really, until you try to go down the stairs. And I'm going down the stairs like this here, going, sweet. Do you know it's those bits of your legs? You know? Anyone? Yeah. I'm looking at you going, don't be judging me. How many times have you climbed Sleeve Donner? That's all I'm going to say, all right? So he's skipping up, and I'm doing all this. And then I was chuckling to myself, actually, on Saturday morning, lying in bed, going, I actually can't move. And then I felt my own sermon come back to me. You know, like, you know, well, what does open heaven and healing look like you? And I was like, seriously, Lord, give me a break. I'm in agony here right now. Do you know what I mean? It says me springing out of, you know, ta-da, let's run it. Because Ben was saying to me halfway down the mountain, he said, like, Dad, like, what was it you said? He said, like, just say somebody, like, was going to kill you, right? And said, I'll only not kill you if you could walk up and down another 5 times. Like, would you do it? This was the kind of conversation we were having. Like, would you be able to do it? And because they'll kill you if you don't. And I'm like, I pretty think I'd have a good go at that, son. Do you know what I mean? Imagining what it would be like. It was funny, but I couldn't. You know, I'm still really in agony this morning. But it was that thing of going, where does my mind go to? Because I felt challenged and chastised to go, seriously? A young, fit man like me should not be struggling like this. Really? Don't judge me. I can see in your eyes. But really challenged around, actually, what is... Think about it right now, because this is why I'm taking it really slow. Because when you walk out of here and you hear something, all right? Or something, there's something going on in your world right now, and you're saying, Lord, I would love to see this different. The Lord connects what you think about with what's in here. Do you get that? So you can't rush it over. You have to take some time with Jesus and go, this is what I see. This is what open heaven would look like. So where I'm sick, this is what I look like well. And allow the Lord to, because see that creative imagination? Super important. It's given to you by God. And you know what the thing is? It's not about your faith creating anything. It's about your heart lining up with what Jesus has done for you. Do you get that? I love that. That's the big difference. In the faith camp, they'll say, you do this and the Lord will do it. No. We do this because he has done it. Big difference. All right? And what we start to see is actually my lack of faith is not a barrier to the Lord doing anything. Do you get that? Once, what I started to say is, because if you can imagine it and allow the Lord to show you open heaven into your situation, all he then says is, allow that to sit and bring that to me every day. And then what? I said, speak it. Gary did a brilliant talk when he talked about David. And he said that everything that David spoke was faith, not this. Right? Surely he'll give me into your hand because I've seen him fight the land, the Lord fight the lion and the bear. Right? Was not a better hope Goliath falls. It's like, no, I've seen this, and so I speak. And so actually, I think part of it is just to help you draw the lines, is as you imagine what it's like, and you allow the Lord to show you, because this that's why you feed well. Every promise of God, every promise of Jesus is an answer to every one of your needs. Whatever is going on for you, there is an answer for it. And so when you read that and you feed on it, he gives you a picture around it to say, what does that look like for you? And it is for you. What does it look like? Don't live in the same old in your heart. Start to allow the Lord to show you and paint vivid pictures of what it looks like to live under open heaven. All right? And as he does that, then you speak it. All right? Lord, this is what I see. And just start to get to thank Jesus for what an open heaven looks like. And soon enough, you will start to possess. Soon enough, the fruit of that has to be that the Lord honors his word and you find life and you find health, because that's what his word does. And I love the, if I could summarize it by saying this, I just want to say this, is like the whole thing of faith. The really important thing about having faith to possess what grace has provided is that if your faith is about you, then you have got it wrong. Faith is about Jesus. Faith is about who he is. And so I said at some point in Hebrews 12:2, I think, we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So you don't look to your faith, you always look to Jesus. Here's the interesting thing. What we find here is, like, if you take David's testimony this morning, when he was sitting in this church a few weeks ago, with the knee hanging off him and walking sticks in, and that future spoken over him, do you know what was interesting? You know what I love about the people who worship in here and our worship leaders? What I love about what we do? Every song this morning was about Jesus. Did you get that? About the cross, about what a beautiful name, about everything about lifting Jesus up. And the byproduct and the fruit of that for somebody sitting in our rows is completely miraculously healed in Jesus' name. You get that? Not trying, not, working it out, not all that kind of stuff, not doing mental gymnastics or heart gymnastics or spiritual gymnastics with the Lord, but simply sitting there and actually under that truth, possessing healing in Jesus' name. That's what we're for, church. That's what it's about. All right? And so I want to encourage you. Now, if you're sick, all right, this thing of looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, is the whole sense of aleph taf. It means that he consummates, he brings a process to its finish. So if you're sick, you have to know that you're already healed because of the finished work of Jesus. You don't have to ask, do I have enough faith to be healed? Do I have the right kind of faith to be healed? What if I'm lacking in faith? Because every time you do that, you're focusing on yourself and your faith instead of Jesus and his work. And the Lord says, don't do that. You should be asking yourself the question this morning, if I'm sitting here and I want to possess that which Jesus has provided, the first question is this: if I'm sick this morning, did Jesus take that away? Did he take that away? Absolutely, he did. And so what does it look like then for me to be on the other side of being well? So the question is not, do I have faith? Is, did Jesus take it away? Do you see that? Not about my faith, but about him. Not about what I have done, what did he do? And I let my mind go there and I start to picture what that is like. Do you get that? See how it's relatively simple, I think, but we have to train ourselves. Because when you ask yourself to have enough faith, you've already put faith as a hindrance between you and Jesus. That's the point. I lived like that for years. You know, whether it was in churches or stuff I listened to or whatever, it was always about my faith, my faith, my faith. What are you doing? What are you doing? And it was always the biggest hindrance for me because I always felt condemned at every level. Never good enough. You could look at my life from any angle you wanted and see lack in my life from the sense of what I was able to do. Every angle. I was absolutely stuffed everywhere. I don't know about you. Pick a hole in me anyway, and you're going to find a problem. So when it comes to faith, Flip, I don't even know. But just think about this church for 1 minute. What would it be like to bring your friends here and your family here to say, actually, everything where you lack, everything where you feel like you're not making the great, it doesn't matter because he has faith for you. Actually, that's in the word. It's not like have faith, it's have God's faith. Actually, in the original language, it's turned around. What does that mean? Well, you've actually got the faith of God. You've been given the measure of faith. And then you can grow into that. And I think the thing for me is, as I go over these things again, because all the way through, when I looked over this week, actually, what we had taught, there was some really phenomenal stuff in there, actually. And sometimes we just skip over it. You know, almost like Bible junkies. You know what I mean? Going, oh, yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that. Yeah, he's brilliant than that. Well, don't like him. He's awesome and that. Yeah, you really need to listen to him on that. And part of somebody in the middle is going, what's Jesus saying to you? For all of that stuff, are you walking in any more freedom? Are you walking in any more provision? Are you walking in any more peace? Are you walking in any more health? Or is it just the same old with lots of Bible knowledge in your head? Because faith to possess means walking in the goodness of it. It means walking in the goodness of it. And it's that sense of the more I'm out of the way and have my eyes on Jesus, the more I'm going to see this fruit in my life. It's going to happen. You're going to be like David there, sitting with a leg burning off you. All right? Going, what's going on here? Why? You're just in a place where Jesus is lifted up. It doesn't need to happen on a Sunday. It can happen anywhere. The point is not where you are. It's where's your focus. That's the point. On a wet Tuesday, a wet Tuesday in November. I don't even need to say November. Just pick a wet Tuesday because that is our flipping life right now, isn't it? Gee, help me, Jesus. Do you think if we spoke to the weather, it would make any difference? Who's up for that? Seriously, why don't we collectively see what's going on? You might be sick. I don't care. I hate the rain. So start to speak to the rain, all right? All right? Put your sickness on the back burner right now and help a brother out. Because if I wake up to another wind lashing off my windies, I'm going to go crazy. I hate the wet weather. It actually, you know, what's that? Well, it's not a blessing. It doesn't. Maybe if you live down where you live, it's a blessing. But see, up here in the city, we hate it. All right? You farmer types, I don't know what's going on with you. So see, when you have this picture in your head, I want to keep you going. I love these more quieter mornings. It's nice to be a wee bit more cheeky. And no, don't. Because see, when that's done, I guess then what we started to say and what I started to say was, that's when you start to speak. And it's not, oh, Jesus, I hope. It's Jesus, I know. Right? Not Jesus, I hope, but Jesus, I know. I suppose one of the things that Pastor Prince said in one of his sermons many years ago that really struck me was that you don't need to have, don't waste your faith on things. You don't need faith for things. Because everything you need is already provided. Don't waste your faith. I was taught for years, are you believing for this? Are you believing for that? Are you believing for the other? The only use of our faith is for righteousness, to believe. And if we believe that we are righteous, then all these things are added unto us. Isn't that amazing? That's we say that, we go, amen. That's a real challenge. Because see, when the money's down, do you know that actually in our church this year, we have more money than we've ever had as a church, and I haven't preached on money. Praise God is right, isn't it? I don't know what that says about my preaching, to be fair. Maybe, I mean, the things that we want to see in your life, maybe if I don't preach on them, they're going to happen. Is that the lesson? Isn't that amazing? I haven't spoken on money in years, and we have more money now than we've ever had as a church. Isn't that amazing? So what I'm trying to say is, even when we lead this church, and we talked about it with the board, with Gary and the guys, was actually I think it came up at our meeting before the summer, but I was just really aware of going, we're actually seeing, what I want to try and encourage you, like the faith that we're possessing and the goodness that we're possessing, even as people who lead this church in our own lives personally, but also in the church, is that the pressure of preach about money, right? Because every church, if you go onto any website, when you're planting a church or starting a church, they'll say, make sure you give the good money talk, give them a good rattle, good shakedown once a year at least, all right? Because the need, you know what it is? Because the sheep forget, all right? And so you need to slap their backsides, get them back in line, all right? And because, and especially with the money thing, because before you know it, they'll be out in Starbucks spending their money and not giving it into the kingdom. Ordering their chai tea lattes with a double whip, whatever, at £4 a pop. Oh, don't let them do that. Get them in, slap their backsides and give them, you know what I mean? Just a bit of grace, but enough condemnation just to keep them coming back. Amen. Haven't done it in years, and our money's going like that. Isn't that good? So we're able to bless, we're able to plan, we're able to, you know, and it's just amazing. And the Lord's just going, let me, you know, it's like, where's your faith for? Our faith is for righteousness and for the gospel. Our faith is to keep our eyes on Jesus. And you know what? We don't even need to worry about this. I'm starting to see what Pastor Prince said, you know, when people go to Singapore and go, how on earth do you do this? And he goes, I have no idea. I just preach Jesus. No, but you must have a plan. $500 million of building paid off and this, that. No, what's your plan? My plan is Jesus. My plan's Jesus. I know, but okay, we get that. Now tell us. I'll take you for lunch and you'll tell us. Seriously, are you listening? All we did was set up the whole place to preach Jesus and to keep our eyes on Jesus. And all these things were added to us. Amen. For his glory, not for ours. Because if it had been what we did, the glory was ours. But because we literally didn't have any of our hand in it, now we managed and we stewarded and all the rest of what God was doing, but it was Jesus who brought it. So all the glory is to Jesus. Amen? I love that. Isn't that not the way to live? What's it going to be like in your life this week doing that? How cool. Going, actually, the glory to Jesus. What did you do? You don't really know. Just love Jesus today. Seriously. What does that mean? I don't know. He gave me pictures of open heaven, and I just said, you know, the righteousness of that I have, I'm just going to speak that and believe it and say thank you that it's done. And I did, like 2 days later, it's all this stuff's going on in my life. And so what did you do? That's what it did. I just kept my eyes on Jesus. That is real gutsy faith. Do you know that? Because outside of that, what human beings will do is they will put their hand to it in order to try to stay safe or create, all right? It takes real faith to stand in the Jordan with the water up around your ankles, with your eyes 1,000 yards in front, and saying, there he is, I'm just going to follow. My ankles feel a wee bit wet. Right now, I don't see the way through, but I see him, and so I'm going to believe. That's what it means to possess. That's Joshua going across the Jordan. Stand with your ankles. In. That's what it means to, let me just go very quick here. The righteousness of faith speaks. Moses was writing about the righteousness which is of the law. He says in Romans 10 verses 5 to 6, says the law, the man who does these things shall live by them, but the righteousness of faith speaks. So I said last week, you know, like, and let me just say this, you can't have faith in your heart without speaking it. You know, you'll say in Romans 10, it's like the law does, but righteousness speaks. So the law is about doing, whereas faith is about speaking. You get that? It's not enough just to know in your mind that you're righteous. You have to open your mouth and say it by faith, I am the righteousness of Christ. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what it is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore we speak. So that spirit of faith and living in that spirit of faith is clearly about believing and speaking. Believing and speaking. And what I love about it is, why is that? Because every time you confess your righteousness, where's your righteousness according to Christ? Where's your attention? It's on Jesus, isn't it? Keeps you Jesus focused. Keeps you absolutely Jesus focused. Let me just say these three things, and then I'm going to be actually done. The things that, in leaving this, all right, There's just three things I want you to remember from this summer. It's that you have faith, okay? Ephesians 2:8-9 says this, all right? It's by grace you've been saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. You've already been given all the faith that you need. You're not lacking in faith. There's not a faith deficit. It's given to you as a gift. So I program my mind to that. The kind of faith that you have right now, where you've been taught it's about the quantity of it, it's actually not, it's about the quality of it. Because the faith that you've been given in measure is, according to Matthew 17:20, he said, when Jesus was speaking, he said, I say to you, if you've got faith as a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, move from here to there, it will move and nothing will be impossible for you. Jesus is speaking figuratively there, not literally the size of a mustard seed. He's just making the point that if you think and you put your faith in the way, you'll never see anything move, because what God has put in you, think about it. When you say, I am the righteousness of Christ, when you keep your heart and your mind on Jesus, the very same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that hovered over the waters in Genesis 1, lives in you today. Do you get that? There's no deficit. There's nothing lacking. That's what's in you. That's what he's put in you. No half measures with the Lord. He's all in. Do you get that? And so if that is true, the last thing is this. It's to understand that I have faith. Doesn't matter if I think it's good or bad, or the quantity of it. It's about the quality, because it's his faith. Galatians 2:20 says, I was crucified. I'm dead. I don't live anymore, but Christ lives in me. Now, the life which I now live, I live in the flesh, in my body, but I live by the gift that God has given me, right? He loved me and he gave himself for me. So let me just finish by saying this. We're going to take communion. Today, as we finish this series, and I'm going to start a new series next week, okay? I want you to go out of here going, you know, you can open your mouth today and you can start to speak the grace and the power and the finished work of Jesus into your life, into your body, into your situation. You can speak it over your loved ones. Because all of the promises that Jesus made to you in his word, when he went to that cross, they are yours today to live by experience. Every single one. Nothing left out. Do you get that? Nothing at all. He didn't pass you by, and he didn't put any appendices in which said, if you read down here, this one doesn't apply to you. And I think some of us need to slow down sometimes in our big desire for what's the next coolest teaching. Even when it comes to pastor, honestly, to sit and to really feed. It's like being served a 15-course meal and taking one mouthful and going, yeah, lovely, what's next, what's next? You get that? Sometimes you just got to slow ourselves down and go, actually, I'm going to allow, you know, the Lord to show me, even if I sit on one thing, and allow him to show me what that open heaven looks like for me. Because you can say amen to every single one of them. So are you ready to do that? Are you ready to speak God's blessing into your life? Are you ready to allow the Lord to show you an imagination? Let me just give you a few things that, you know, for me, what does this look like? Well, if you're sick, you can say this, okay? Let's put this up. Sickness and pain, I command you in the name of Jesus to be plucked out of by your roots and cast out of my body. By Jesus' stripes, I am healed. I will live and not die, and I will proclaim the goodness of God. Isn't that good? The righteousness of faith speaks. The righteousness of faith speaks. If you need provision today, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He took my poverty at the cross, and he gave me prosperity. He supplies all of my needs according to what? His riches in glory. Who's looking for provision today? What is your debt? What are you picturing? Well, what does it look like when the Lord comes to you with your poverty under his feet, says, look me in the eye and go, what is it? He took all of my poverty. I'm not embarrassed of this gospel, are you? Why would you be? That's just crazy. What about with your kids? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. No evil, no harm shall befall you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. May you grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. What a blessing to speak over your children, amen? The righteousness of faith speaks. The righteousness of faith speaks. And so as we finish, and I'm done, as you begin to release your faith, okay, and speak in line with God's promises, can I just encourage you? Expect some mountains to be moved, all right? Purposefully, I didn't talk on that piece because I felt the Lord going, look, do you know what? If you do that, people are just going to go, yeah, I heard it. Yeah, I heard it. Remember we spoke from Zechariah chapter 4 where the Lord says the same thing, but he actually says, look at your mountain and speak grace to it, and you'll be moved, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. My spirit says, speak grace, Zechariah 4, and you'll see your mountain moved. So go for it. Can I just say, don't be in a rush? I've taken it really quietly this morning. Is that okay? Because what I really don't want is for us to do this over the summer, to have some unbelievable, and thank you to Helen and to Gary and to Phil, who have preached magnificently over the summer as well, because they really fed you really well, really super well. And my heart as the pastor of this church is that you possess everything that Jesus has for you. What you need is different to what I need, right? But it's the same Lord behind it all. And this gospel of Jesus and his finished work is for you. Every bit of it, every part, every T, every I dotted, every line underlined is for you because he loves you. And so go from here today and say, Lord, wherever it is, the righteousness of faith will speak, I will rest, and then I will see the goodness of God. Amen.